track session number 24731, Reel 2.
Mr. Emery, Reel 2. We're talking about the air raid. Yeah. You were talking about an air raid at the cardboard mill and the supervisor.
Yeah, well, the chief superintendent used to give the instructions, and if they thought it was going to be attack on Bristol, shut down. So we used to shut down then. It took about 5 minutes to shut the machine down. The best part about it, there was reserved occupation men on there, and if there was any bombs dropping, you'd say shut down and things like that. They used to scuttle off to the air raid shelter, and then me as a boy, you used to help the machine man shut the wet end down. You used to say bloody cowards and all things. But him and me used to shut down and go to the air raid shelter. And then we'd stay there, like, if the blitz was on. When they'd be all clear, they'd come back and start the machine up. But he didn't shut down unless it was an attack on Bristol. So one night I was on shift work on 2 to 10 in the winter, 1940-41. I think it was about December or something. But I was on 2 to 10, so they started this blitz about 6 o'clock at night, the blitz started. And they shut the mill down because the blitz was on. So over there, and I thought, it was about 30 or 40 I was over there, and it wasn't all that much room. You sat on a wooden seat. There was no comfort there, like, you know. And I thought, what am I doing here? So I decided, I said, I'm going home. Oh, you can't do that. I said, I'm going home. I'm not stopping here. So I said, well, if you go home, you must clock out. So he made sure I clocked out. So I clocked out and I circled home all through Bristol, and the Blitz was on and there was buildings burning there. I circled all through Bemister and the water was frozen. It took me about an hour and a half to get home, and I went down the air raid shelter. There was nobody in the air raid shelter. Oh, Christ, where are they all gone then? But they were in the air raid shelter next door, down the Anderson shelter. But I slept down there in the end, it was that persistent, the sirens going off every night, that my mother used to say, the air raid sirens, oh, you know, I'll just stop in bed. And I used to stop in bed some nights. She used to try to get me out.
What was the bobby like?
There was young lads the same age as well. There was one who was a messenger boy for the air raid wardens. I joined the Home Guard, by the way.
Come back to that.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he got killed delivering a message when they dropped a couple of bombs over on the Bridgewater. There was about six houses about 150 yards from us blown down, and families killed under the stairs and things like that. So, and then we had an ACAC site about 200 yards, 3.7, they were on, bang, bang, bang. But it was a bit,
Were you nervous?
Not really, no. I don't say when I was cycling home during the blitzes and you could hear a bomb coming, I didn't get off my bike and dive in the gutter. I've never been taught that. I suppose it's self-preservation, I don't know. But no, it never really, I'll be honest with you, I'm no hero, but no, it never bothered me. I cycled home and we had a couple of raids on film during the day. A big raid, you know, and I was on nights that night. My mother came up and said, "Quick, is there?" And I climbed out of bed and not very happy about that, and came downstairs and stood in the garden and watched them. You could see all these German bombers go. Did quite a lot of damage out field and air raid. On the Wednesday, I think that was. Quite a lot of damage. And I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden a lot of paper come fluttering, just like sheets of toilet paper. So they come fluttering. I went out by the gate and I picked a piece out, and they were saying, "Don't touch it, it might be poisonous," and that. We could order up to the light, and there was a swastika like watermark in there. I don't know whether it was some clever dick out there thought, they got the wind up, let's chuck them down some toilet. But there's all this paper floating. But anyway, that was a Wednesday. They caught a fair bit of damage out of Bristol Gov. They killed quite a few and whatnot else. So they came back on the Friday, same thing, but they got a right hammer in that time. Evidently, they had a couple of fighter squadrons waiting for them, and they forward a raid. I remember seeing it, or it was a fighter pilot or one of the crew of bombers, but I seen him floating down by parachute over towards Long Ashton coming down. And they was all saying, we'll kill him, and things like that. That was the women, not the men, but he could have well been English or anybody else, I don't know. But no, it was a bit of a... It was interesting in some ways, you know.
Now, what about you joined the Home Guard, yeah, or the LDV? When did you do that?
Well, it started in about June, didn't it? The LDV. Then they changed it to Home
Guard. 1940. Yeah.
Yeah. And my two pals were about 6 months older than me, and they joined Bishopsworth Home Guard. And my mother said, "Oh, you're not old enough. You're only 16." But anyway, I kept on and kept on. I got all my paper because I sent away to the war officers and got all the regimental history and all things like that, you know, and the Home Guard history. But I joined on October the 1st, it's Bishopsworth Home Guard.
Which one, sorry?
Bishopsworth Home Guard, which was a 7th Battalion of Somerset Light Infantry, Home Guard it was. But it was, I can't think of the name of the company, but it was Bishopsworth Home Guard down there.
So where was your drill hall? At Bishopsworth?
It's Bishopsworth, yeah. Bishopsworth Church Hall in Whitchurch Lane. It's now, I think it's Jehovah Witness got it now. So,
What was the sort of training?
Most of them that were in it were all First World War. You know, they you watch Dad's Army, to be quite honest with you, on the telly, and they give you entirely different. They were quite. How can I say efficient then? I had a Canadian Ross rifle at home with 50 rounds of ammunition. I went down to Pioneer on a rifle range and fired my rifle. That was, I was just about 17 then. And we used to do route marches on a Sunday. And I used to do, I can't think how often the guards used to come around. We used to do all night guard at Bishopsworth. Also, a detachment went to the Bristol Water Works filter beds at Barragurney, and we used to supply a guard out there. About 8 or 10 blokes in twos to patrol around, you know, and things like that. That was every night. There was a, what could we have done, I don't know, but anyway, we used to patrol out there, but we had a guard at headquarters as well. And if the air raid sirens went, you know, there was always a guard outside, sentry outside the door, and if things like that, anything happened, and then they used to go out and investigate, not that we found anything, but they were quite. We had a weekend camp away with sticky bombs. We used to make sticky bombs, you know, and try all that. And prior to going in the army, we started to build a rifle range up on the bottom of Dundry as well, our own rifle range, but that wasn't finished when I went. So, but it was quite, yeah, they were quite keen down there. Yeah, these Wings for Victory parades we used to do, like, we used to have that every year, once a year, didn't they? You know, get people to cough up money to buy a Spitfire and things like that, and we used to have got photographs of that stood in Bishopsworth there, and it was a bit of an insight into, but as I say, I could sleep before I could walk with my father anyway, being a bit of a...
It sounds like you quite enjoyed it.
I did. I should have been disappointed if my father was saying, go on, let him join, you know, a different attitude, you know, So I joined. I went in the same platoon as my two pals, but it was to set up. If I was on 2 to 10, when it was my night on guard, it was to cycle home, get home about, it would take me about 40 minutes to cycle home, have some supper and go down and do my guard then. And then on a Saturday night, we used to go to sleep, we used to sit there playing pong too. And that's where I learned to play cards there with all these blasted old soldiers. You know, penny pong too, it was then. The old penny, I mean, you know, yeah.
What did you think of the old soldiers? Did you think they were competent?
Well, I used to have a little bit of respect for them, really. I didn't, as I say, Dad's Army don't really give a real insight into it. It might have done some, but they were pretty, where I was, they were pretty keen then, put it that way.
And were you in the RP at all?
No, I went straight in the...
You're just in the Home Guard. Yeah, so you joined them in October 1940?
Yeah.
And how long were you with them for?
Till I went in the Army, October the 1st, 1942.
So you had 2 years with them?
Well, yeah, roughly, yeah.
Any incidents happened that you can remember?
Well, no, not, as I say, we weren't in Bristol, we were on the outskirts, where it wasn't incorporated in the Bristol, it was a village in of Somerset, sort of, it was on the outskirts, but our guards used to take us to out in the country to, as I say, the filter beds, or...
And nothing ever happened, you know?
Well, not really, yeah. No, you had the odd bomb dropping Bishopsworth, like everybody down there seeing what damage it had done and all things like that, but not really, no...
How did rationing affect you? Food and clothing.
Well, rationing? No, that's another thing, isn't it? Clothes now, if you don't like a towel, you throw it away. But then, you had a best suit for Sundays, didn't you? Then you didn't wear that suit only Sundays, even when I was a boy. Things like that. Apart from that, you wore your clothes for work. And there wasn't much of a social life really when the war was on, because pictures used to close it.
It will stick to clothes.
Yeah.
Clothes rationing.
Well, no, I didn't really often say I can't think. No, it didn't really affect me.
What about
me.
Food rationing?
Well, my father had a... grandfather was only had an allotment. My father had allotment. We had a back garden as well, so vegetables and things like that. My mother used to bottle fruit and things like that, and pickled onions, and my father used to make the horse from his own, dig us up and make the horse radish, like, so... they both come from... they both come, say, from country stock then, sorry about that. Country stock that, whereas they knew how to preserve things and things like that, you know.
So you didn't go that short of food, you?
Not in, all right. You didn't, you know, some people get all the six eggs and things like that, you know, black market, but my father went in that sort of, at Capper Pass, he never saw anybody, and I didn't see anybody at the Bourbons, only the people I worked with, you know, and,
So how did you come to get called up in October 42? Well, or did you volunteer?
No. It got down then. It was the militia started. It was 21s. When it came 20s, down to 19s, then it was the 18s. I think it was the second lot, the 18s. My pals were both, as I say, 6 months already, went 6 months before me. And then I registered in 1942. I registered in the middle of August. So I went to Wimmerhill, where my grandmother used to, where I used to live. Registered up there in the middle of August. Had my medical the first week in September, and I was in the army by the 1st of October. 6 weeks I was registered in, done, and I'd have been disappointed if I'd have failed my medical.
Did you want to go into the army, or would you prefer the navy or the air force?
No, the navy. No, I was quite happy with the army. No, yeah, no, I never had any preference. As I say, 6 weeks, so I hadn't a passed, I should have been, and then all the old sweats out the board, I make a man out of you, and all this sort of business, like, yeah.
How did your parents react to when you were called up?
Well, my mother never had a lot to say, really, I suppose she, I think parents then accepted it more. Now, I'm going to say I expect to see John Wayne turn up any minute, riding on a white horse with all his business with Iraq. But in those days, people accepted it, I think. They were more, resigned, but, they thought differently than what it is now, you know. You wouldn't have got them all out protesting on the streets, no war and things like that, would they?
Where were you called up to?
So I went to Warley Barracks, got called up to Warley Barracks, Brentwood, Essex.
And who were you joining there?
Well, that was it was Essex Regiment Depot. It was up Guards Depot as well, because his father went there as well in the 1920s. But I went into the City of London Fusiliers. That's who I was with. For the first 6 weeks. I went there for 6 weeks. That was primary training wing then. We taught you the basics of infantry, firing the rifle, Bren gun.
Now, we're quite interested in your basic training. How did, you know, when you first got there, you arrived as a civilian, you know, how did they sort of take you in?
Well, I went in my Home Guard uniform to start with, so I was half-dressed, if nothing else. I went with somebody from the Bourbons who knew his way around London, because his auntie and that lived, so the two of us going to Warley Barracks together, so we went on at 9 o'clock in the morning. Can I tell you a little incident there about then? Leave him this. I worked with somebody who had at the Bourbons who had one eye, and he was in the first end of the. He got caught up at the end of the First World War, and he was too late for the First World War, but he was in recovering the bodies and reburying them. See, but anyway, he worked with me. So anyway, I said I got my calling out papers, Harry. He said, "How?" He said, "Make a man out." He said, "Do it a world of good." He said, "He won't ever want me." But on that October 1st on Templemeath Station, in with the one eye. Was up there, he'd been caught up. So what in the hell he did with him, I don't know. He was going somewhere. But anyway, went to Warley. So we got there about Brentwood Station. It's about 2 miles uphill. And got to the Essex end. There was a sentry on duty there. And he said out the corner of his mouth, "Once you're in, you'll never get out." I always remember them words. He said that to me. Walked up the lawn drive and went in the drill hall. And there was trestle tea. I don't know if you know much about the army, but the old trestle tea was laid out there with the clerk sat there and the sergeant. Right, you in that row, you in that row, and you in that row. And handed your papers in and had all your papers there. Gave you an army number, which was 1429-9640, which I should never forget. fill out your pay book, CV and whatnot else. And, right, you over there, and they split you up into platoons, and that's where you went. And you went from there, marched over to the MI room, then, where had your FFI, free from infection then. And from there's quite a few went straight in the sick bay there with nits and whatnot else, you know, it's surprising. But anyway, you went there to your platoon, which was a spider with seven.
Now, what were the huts like? Tell us.
Wooden huts. Basic wooden. They must have been there for some time. Basic wooden
what
huts.
What were they like? Describe them to me. You know, inside. What? You know, stove, bed.
It was wooden walls, just an arched roof like you see in two-tier bunks. Three biscuits was the mattresses. You packed your kit on there. You were given four blankets. That was right, four blankets. So those on the top used to sleep one way, and those on the bottom used to sleep. That was it. You used to sleep head to toe. And then at nights, at 10 o'clock, lights out. I don't know. The ones on the bottom, say, used to get out and take the blackouts down and open the windows. This was October, mind. And then when Revalia went at 6 o'clock in the morning, those on the top used to get out and put the blackouts back up again, and the lights went on. There's no fires. They had a big couple of big stones, which we used to pot a while, we used to burnish and keep clean.
If we look at a sort of typical day's training, it takes us. So how would your day go on? You know, from
hard,
you
hard. It was 6 o'clock Revalley. The corridor was there. The six and opposite was the adjoined to the corridor was the ablutions. Cold water, no hot water. Part of the first day there, after you went to your hut, you went and got supplied with all your kit. Bakelite razor, hold all, housewife, you know, boots, ammunition, all the lot. They were shoving it down, two pair of boots, size 9s and all. And you got up the end there, they was ticking it off, and you sign here. You didn't have time to say, I haven't got it all. You signed, so you went. And then the first nights there, they sort of left you to sort yourself out. But starting from 6 o'clock next morning, Revalley, 7:45 was breakfast.
Now, what was army food like?
The first day I went across the washhouse with the towel supplied and a tablet of soap. I bought two to me. I said, you better take it now because in case you can't get any soap. So I had two tablets of soap. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I filled the bottle. I washed my face like this with towel tucked in my shirt at the back. Went to go like this to pick my soap up and it'd been nicked straight away. I haven't been in 24 hours. I had my first tablet of soap nicked. So that was the first thing. But so we prayed it for breakfast then. Although we had mess tins issued, we also had two plates issued, same size plates, dinner plates. And we walked, marched over to the cookhouse, and it was trainee ATS cooks there that used to do the cooking. So it was lumpy porridge, no sugar in and things like that, and the usual beans on toast. It must have been a glut of tomatoes. I think every perishing meal we had tomatoes on toast with tomatoes and what else. I can't remember much, but mostly beans and things. The stable diets we used to.
What about lunchtime? Yeah, look at all the food.
It was sort of cabbage, plenty of cabbage. Young lads ain't all that keen on cabbage, but after 2 days there, they'd eat the knuckles off your fingers, sort of, because they were, you know, it'd give you that. So then you started off then, and
stews, would you get?
We might have got bad, but nothing, you can't say, with a bit of meat in and things like that, with potatoes, plenty of potatoes.
How did the food compare to what you used to?
What, at home, Christ, nothing, no, you know, I'd rather have home cooking, it's far better than what. But then you were catering for masses, and like I said, it was trainee ATS that was doing the cooking.
Was there enough of it?
Yeah, I think there was, enough, yeah, I can't, you still used to, we had the naffy break, and we'd always buy a wad in there, you know. Actually, the day I went in on October the 1st, the pay got up then from 2 and 6 to 3 shillings a day. I started, your father said, you're lucky you got an extra 6 pence a day there. So I had 21 shillings a week, less. I don't know where it was compulsory, but I had allotted 7 shillings a week home, so I only got 14 shillings a week less. I think it was 6 months a week PRI fund. You know what that PRI? I never found out what that PRI was for. Anyway, so that's what it was, 3 shillings a day. But we always go to the naffy. You have your tea at night, which is about 6 o'clock, and after that, it was nothing after that. I think you could go over to the cookhouse and get some of that thick cocoa. I did on other occasions, usually finish up in the naffy with a tea and a wad again.
Now, what about the training? After breakfast, how would the training start on a typical day?
PT, physical training.
No, you'd been good at PT. What did you think of the army PT?
Oh, pretty, you know, it was none of this. They didn't take kindly to wasters then. You all walked around in blue and red striped jerseys on. You got issue with two singlets, white singlets, which was not for wearing as a singlet, only for PT. You could use blue shorts, pair of plimsolls, blue shorts, two pair of shorts, two singlets. And it was one in our unit, used to wear his singlet as a vest, and used to come on with a dirty vest, because one was in the wash, you couldn't, anybody got onto him several times about anything. He marched him in the regime showers and scrubbed him down with brushes with his singlet on, so to teach him a lesson not to. But no, it was pretty strenuous. And
I mean, was
Saturday morning, we used to go for a run.
What standard was the PT compared to what you were used to? I mean, you did it.
Well, it was a lot tougher than what it was at school, things like that. Yeah, it was, you know, like press ups and things. You had none of this laying your stomach on, you're just going up and down with your arms. I used to, he was pretty keen on it. Like, this business is nothing, you know, is major pop in the pan, especially the smokers, which I never did.
Did it improve your fitness?
I did, oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, I was.
And what about route marches or runs?
Well, runs, Saturday mornings we used to go for a run. The first Saturday in was inoculation day. TABTT. But before that, we had our breakfast, and it was a run then. We used to run us all up the hill, up towards Shenfield or wherever it was, and all around the common, and back down, and then march us all the way back up the drive. Like, you know, but as you say, you could tell them that the smokers and the non-smokers in general. And, yeah, they were pretty, we went, they were out for mine, the PTI, you know, there was no mucking about with them, really.
Now, what about the drill? How do you do with drill?
Foot drill, yeah. Well, I never did a lot of foot drill. We knew about marching, left turn and slow drive. I could do all that with the home guard. But apart from foot drill, you know, about turn and things like that, we learned all that on the square. There was two squares, a big square and a small square. And we learned all the foot drill there, to the right salute, to the front salute, and all that. I could do all that, you know, sloping arms, inspection port arms, high port, and everything else that went with it. I could do all that.
Did you understand the point of it then?
Well, no, I didn't. To me, it didn't. It was all part and parcel of being in the services. And that was, to me, all part and parcel of being in the services. And I took it as that was part of it.
You didn't object to it. I mean,
I'm going to say, a lot of them say it was a well. No, I would have been disappointed if I underwent. So anyway,
well, what about your weapons training?
Well, the hand grenades. We used to,
tell me about that.
Used to get a hand grenade. They used to show us how to prime it, and then say, "Don't drop in the barrel room." You know, it always stood around there and said, "Don't drop it like this and all this," or it wouldn't prime them. But that sort of thing. Then when they showed us how to do that, put it in and screw the base on, and then if you pull the pin out and the lever, you've had it, and you've got 5 seconds to get rid of it. You know, but they also had a pit there in the woods in the barracks where we all threw our hand grenade. Stand out there, right, now your turn now, and you pull the pin out, let the lever go, throw, and then you'd have to duck down, it go off bang in the pit down.
Did it make you nervous?
No. Rifle drill?
Rifle training. Yeah, tell me about the rifle. Right. You'd had the Ross before.
I had a rifle, yeah, it was a Lee-Enfield I had.
How did you find the Lee-Enfield compared to the Ross?
Well, the only thing that taught me about that I could see about the Ross, it was 300 ammunition, I knew that much. It was a .300, where it was .303, the Enfield. It was a short VM with a little sort pig sticking bayonet, as opposed to the long one we got. It was heavy, I'll tell you. It appeared to be heavy until you got used to it.
How did they teach you to shoot? I mean, how did they, we
used to go. They never had any range. We had a 2-2 range there where you could fire a 2-2. We used to do a little battle course there and fire the 2-2. But they used to have targets stuck up in the distance, and Yeah, frames with a rifle in, and then you know, you just say, right now, well, set that rifle to hit the in the heart or somewhere. Like that. You had to send it because it wasn't the feedback sight like it used to be on the old Lee Enfield. It was a round aperture back sight. You got the, you know, and you got the front sight into the aperture back sight, and then you set your rifle up like that, and they come along saying, oh yeah, no, you'd have missed him by sort of 6 inches at 200 yards and all that sort of business. But we didn't fire the 300 until we went to, oh Christ.
Well, we'll come to that. So you didn't actually fire it there. What about the bayonet? Did you do the bayonet?
Oh yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, we used to fix it now. Lads, don't forget, now it's your enemy. No, I want you to stick it, and when you stick it in, I want you to shout. You don't go in and drag it out and stick it in. You used to have the sack stuck up there, and we used to go charging down and jab it. And then shouted, oh, that's excellent, that one there. No good, you, he won't listen to you. You start shouting, all that sort of business. You had to put as much blood curdling. He said, after you've killed the first one, you won't notice that. That was a sort of, I don't suppose any of them killed any of them, but the instructors, but that was a sort of.
What did you think of it? I mean, bayonet.
Perhaps I was a bit callous, I don't know. It was part and parcel of the training, and put it that way, yeah.
Any other weapons? Well, Lewis gun or the Bren gun?
Bren gun, further Bren gun, yeah, we used to do the Bren.
What do you think, what Bren gun training did you get?
Well, the usual, you know, and the problems you get, gun fires one or two rounds, gun stops, what's the trouble? Empty magazine, change your magazine, gun fires one or two rounds and stops again. Gas chamber, change your gas chamber from two to three, I remember those two straight away. All that sort of business, yeah. It was quite a good gun, you know.
Was it like to fire?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have fired it yet, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't have fired it then, no. But
didn't they do this blindfold stripping business?
That was when you got round. I would say this is only the basic infantry training we're getting here. In with this training in mind, they also give you agility tests.
I'll come to that.
Oh, but yeah.
Any other weapons you remember?
Well, the Sten gun wasn't out then. That wasn't an event. So I had the rifle, the Bren gun, the hand grenade.
The bayonet. Well, rifle, yeah.
Yeah, the rifle, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, I can't think of it, no. That was a three, a basic.
Tell us about these agility tests.
I think they got round to the state that it's no good putting a round peg in a square hole sort of business. So, during this 6 weeks, you also had so many. One where you went to, one of them was where you went to a classroom, and they have all locks laid out, dismantled. And you had to put them in a certain way to put them back together again, you know. Another one was agility test where they'd have four poles about that tall round with rings over it like hoopla rings. And you'd have to, they have five rings on each of these two, five, and you had to go from A to C, B to D, and see how quick without getting disorientated. That was another one you did there, see how quick you were there. Morse code was another one. You go in there and they'd da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you had to say where that was the same or different and things like that. That was the three I can remember. There was other ones, but that was the chief three I can remember. And I think that helped to decide where you might have went, providing they didn't want you in the infantry, which was sort of...
Was there an assault course there?
Yeah, we did a bit of an assault course.
What was
yeah.
it like?
Well, that was hard work, that was, yeah.
What was know. It? Could you describe it?
It was not like you see the big ones they got down, like the Royal Marines and things like that. It was only a short one, but it was climbing through rings and then with your rifle and things like that, and climbing over obstacles and walking along poles and all things like that. That's sort of busy, but you had to do it in a certain time. I had more of that when I joined the Royal Artillery, actually.